And I don't know about you, but the times when I am blessed before the preaching, blessed with the song service, with the songs, I can enter into the songs from the heart, scripture reading. There are generally times when the Lord exceptionally blesses me in preaching. I don't know, is it that way with you? I enjoyed that, so I hope that's a good sign. That offertory, when I want to stand up and sing what she's playing, I'm getting a blessing. And I came that close to share, but I didn't want to take away from that, the beautiful way in which she played it. All right, John 14. John chapter 14 is our text. We have been looking at this one verse, verse 6. And this is the last of three messages on John 14, 6. Let's read that one verse again. The Lord Jesus Christ saith unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one will get to God except by Christ. Period. No one will get to God except Christ be their substitute, except Christ be their righteousness, their holiness. And it's also by Him calling them. He has to personally call them, like a shepherd calls his sheep. And He has to keep them all the days of their life. No one comes to God but by Christ being the way. Christ is the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. No one will get to God except Christ reveal Himself. The truth. Christ reveal Himself. Who is the truth? The true and living God. The true Savior. The true gospel. No one gets to God except by Christ revealing the truth of Himself to their heart, the gospel. Christ is the life. He said, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one will enter into the life of God, eternal life, spiritual life. No one will enter into the life of God except Christ gives them that life. He said, I am the life. So this third thing is what I want us to look at this morning. Christ says, I am the life. And if you're taking notes, there are 3 points. Number one, Christ is natural life. Christ is natural life. Number two, Christ is spiritual life. He is spiritual life. And number three is a question. Do you have life? All right, number one. Christ is natural life. Turn to the first chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 1. You probably knew where I was going. John chapter 1. Christ is natural life. He is natural life. The life that we live on this planet is due to Him. Read it. John 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this Word? Look at verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's the Word. Christ is the Word. And the reason He uses Word is mean He's the one who reveals, or He's the spoken, the revealed. God is Spirit. And no one would know God, who is Spirit, except Christ be made flesh, except Christ speak. All right? Read on. Verse 2. The same Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who? The Word. Christ. Jesus Christ is the Creator. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything that was made. In Him, verse 4, look at it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Listen to this in Colossians 1. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him, Christ, were all things created. Jesus Christ is the Creator of life. If one does not know Jesus Christ as Creator, they've got the wrong Christ. He is the life. Over in Acts 17, where Paul said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Who's he talking about? Christ. Christ is the source of life. He is the God in whose hands our breath is and all our way. Isn't it? Oh, yes. Didn't Christ say all? He has given me authority over all flesh. The God in whose hands our breath is, whose hands are we in anyway? God's only had one set of hands, and it's not ours. God, who is Spirit, has only dwelled in one body. Who is it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's the Creator. He's the source of life. Christ is the sustainer of life. Christ is the sustainer of life. He's a provider. Scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Doesn't it? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Well, who's above? Well, Colossians 3 says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. He's Joseph. He's our Joseph, our elder brother. We don't see Pharaoh. We see Joseph. And Joseph is the one who's in charge of all the storehouses. Whoever gets something gets it from him. Christ. He is in charge of all things. All gifts come from him. Christ is the not only the sustainer of life, Christ is the terminator of life. Christ is the terminator of life. Do you remember in one place where Christ said concerning the Pharisees, he said, let them alone. Or in another place he said concerning a tree, cut it down. In Deuteronomy 32, he says, I kill, I make alive. I, the Lord, do all these things. Who's that? Jesus Christ. He's the one that decides who lives. He's the one that decides who dies. He says, let them alone. Let them live. Or if he in his sovereign power says, kill them, they die. That's who Jesus Christ is. He has the keys of hell and death at his side. He's natural life. See what I'm saying? We owe our very existence right now to Jesus Christ. The breath you're breathing right now, Jesus Christ gave the command, let him breathe. My breath. And the moment he says, I'm taking back what's mine. But you die. We owe all our faculties, everything we are, everything we know, everything we can do. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You got a brain? Jesus Christ gave it to you. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. You strong, you able, you physically able, you are because Jesus Christ said so. Let not the beautiful woman glory in her beauty. You got a little outward beauty. It's because Jesus Christ made you so. Don't glory in any of it. Glory in Him, Scripture said. Give Him all the glory. So Christ is natural life. Secondly, Jesus Christ is spiritual life. Christ said, I am the life, the life. Whatever life it is, He is it. The life, natural life. He is the spiritual life. Just like I said a while ago, Christ is the creator of life. In the beginning, the Word created all things. In the beginning, Jesus Christ said, let there be light. In the beginning, Jesus Christ said, breathed into that man He formed life. Gave life. He's the source of it. He breathed His life into it. All right? But man died, didn't he? Man died spiritually. In Adam, all die. All men and women are dead in trespasses and sin. Isn't that what the Scripture said? And you know it's so by experience. And no one's going to live spiritually. No one's going to be regenerated unless Christ does it. Christ created all natural life and all spiritual life. Nobody, Christ said this. He said, as the Father hath life in Himself to quicken whomsoever He will, so even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. Right? Nobody's going to be saved. No one's saved because they let Jesus Christ do anything. No, sir. Everybody that says that is not. Everybody that says that is not. Everybody that says that is not. Why? Got the wrong Christ. Because that's a lie. That's not the truth. That's a lie. I'll tell you the truth. Christ said, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father. And He said, no man can come unto the Father except the Father which has sent me do what? Draw him. It doesn't say except they let me. I am the light. Anybody that confesses or says anything about making a decision or accepting Jesus or letting Him has the wrong Jesus Christ and are unsaved and are getting their sins. Is that too strong? It just goes with what Christ said. I am the light. Spiritual light. We're all dead. And the reason the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead is to illustrate the gospel. That's exactly why. Lazarus was a believer. Lazarus was going to go be with the Lord. Right? Why would the Lord bring back Lazarus from the grave to dwell back on this miserable earth? To show us the gospel. Right? To show us the gospel. Didn't Christ say, this is not unto death, but for the glory of God? And we use it all the time because there's no better illustration than Lazarus. What did the Lord ask Lazarus to do? Nothing. What did Lazarus do?
Stunk.
Did Lazarus take the first step?
If he could do that, he could take the rest.
Well, who did what? Christ did it all. What was Lazarus? He's dead. What was Christ?
He's life.
How's Lazarus going to live? If Christ, who is life, comes, says, live! But not until then. No, that's the gospel. I am the life. What could be plainer? What could be plainer? Oh, it's plain to them that understand. Proverbs 8 says, it's plain to all them that understand. Plain to Lazarus. You ask Lazarus, Lazarus, how do you live? How'd you live? Well, life's in Christ. I was dead. I live because He said live. Well, you came out of the grave, didn't you? Not until He called me. Right? Well, you called on Him, didn't you? Not until He called me first. Well, you chose Him, didn't you? Not until He chose me. I was dead. What could be plainer? And so it is with all who Christ comes to and gives life, without exception, across the board. They shall all be taught of God. What are they taught? That Christ is the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no man's going to get to God except by Christ. Doing it all. Doing it all. Look over to Ephesians 4 very quickly. Ephesians 4. We love these verses. We've read them over and over and over. But oh, this is life. These are words of life. This is the story of your birth. This is the story of your life. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 18. This was us. This was us. Verse 18, we had the understanding darkened. Nearly every one of us in here at one time, when we heard what I just said, what we just heard preached, when we heard that, we said, I don't believe that. Didn't we? Nearly everyone in here, I don't believe that. That's not the way, didn't you? Understanding darkened. Read on. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, ignorant of who God is. Do you remember when Christ said to those Pharisees, He said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. You remember that? When Christ said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. They could quote it. What do you mean they didn't know? They could quote it. That's all they did was read the Bible. And Christ said, you don't know the Scriptures. Why did He say that? They didn't see Christ in them. He is the Word made flesh, made manifest. What's the Bible? It's not what, it's who. He said, you search the Scriptures. You read your Bible from cover to cover once every year. And in them you think you have life. Reading the Bible is not life. I am the life. They are they which testify of me. See that? But Christ went on to say to those same Pharisees, He said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Remember that? Nor the power of God. You think God's just like you are. You think Jesus is just a man, don't you? You don't know the power of God. You don't know the true God. You don't know God who is God. And you're not going to know until God reveals it. Isn't that right? That's what it says here. The life of God, verse 18, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, read on, this is wonderful, alienated, past feeling, given themselves over unto lasciviousness, work all uncleanness with greediness. that you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard Him, been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth. Look over at chapter 2. Oh, I love this chapter. Ephesians 2. Don't you love Ephesians 2? I love it. This describes us, though. Look at verse 12. Ephesians 2. Look at it. Verse 12. At the time you were without Christ, oh, you had religion. You'd accepted Jesus and quit this and quit that and been baptized and joined a church and living a victorious life. Oh, yeah, you had that. Well, you were without Christ. Right? That describe anybody in here? Describes most everybody in here. It describes everybody in here, unless you have Christ now. Without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Stranger, what's covenants? You don't know? Is it strange to you? Read on. Having no hope without... If you don't know something about the covenant, you have no hope and you're without God in this world. I'm talking about the covenant of grace. There's only one. Read on. But now. Verse 13. But now. Like verse 4. Salvation's in these two words. But God. But now. In Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh. Now, in Christ. Brought to God by Christ. Bought by Christ. Brought by Christ. Taught by Christ. But now. But God. But Christ. And you. I like that. It starts out. This chapter starts out. And you who were dead. Verse 4, but God, whose life quickened you with Christ. By the blood of Christ. Born again. Born again. Born again. By the blood of Christ. Did you ever wonder why blood and water came out of Christ's side at the cross? Scripture says that blood and water poured out of His side at the cross. Now, that doesn't happen when someone dies. There's no outpouring of water. When does water come gushing out of a person? It only comes out one time. That's when a woman gives birth to a child. Well, it says when Christ was hanging on that cross and had died, a soldier came by with a spear and pierced Him, and it specifically said out came blood and water. And water. Well, blood to justify. See, we're born again, not of our own blood, but by the blood of Christ. Born of God. The triune God, this three are one. They're in this thing together. They gave birth to a people. We're sired by God. He's the Father. Given birth to by Christ. By His travailing in death for us. And the Holy Spirit raises us. He raises us. Blood to justify. Pay for our sins. Sin had to be paid for. Christ had shed His blood. Water to sanctify. The Word has to come, doesn't it? The Word has to purify, has to cleanse, has to wash us. When a child is born, it's born in blood. It lives by blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. If that child doesn't have blood in it, it doesn't have life in it, right? And it has the blood of the father and the mother. It has some an essence of both, doesn't it? They do a DNA, they know who the father is, right? It's impossible for a child to be the child of a man whose substance is not in him. Same way with spiritual birth. Not born of flesh and blood, but by the blood of Christ. And that blood courses through the veins of His people. It's in them. His blood. by faith, and water to justify. When that child is born, when Hannah was first born, I took her personally and dipped her in a basin of water and washed the filth from her. And she opened her eyes and opened her ears. And I covered her and wrapped her in a blanket. Water. And now to this day, she still drinks water. She must have it. Her life cannot go on without it. She lives by water. It's called the water of life. You love water, don't you, Hannah? You drink it with nearly every... And so it is. The child of God is born by the Word of God. By the blood of Christ justified, born by the water of the Word of God, of Christ. And they must have it to live. They must have it to wash them. They must have it to grow thereby. They must have it to live by. Blood and water. Both speak of Christ. Look back over at 1 John 5. And I'll hurry. 1 John 5. I've been making a conscious effort, folks. Started to say being short. Well, I am that. Preaching short. 1 John 5. Look at verses 6 through 12. Okay, stay with me. Well, stay with God's Word. This is God's Word. 1 John 5, verses 6 through 12. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it's the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Who? What? What is this one? Christ. Read on. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He's the one. Read on. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. What could be plainer? Well, it could be plain. Christ is the life. The creator of it, the sustainer of it. Christ is the life. The life. Natural, spiritual, eternal, everlasting. What is eternal life, people? What is eternal life? It's the life of God. It's holiness. It's goodness. It's righteousness. It's love, joy, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, and so on and so forth. It's the life of God. It's godlikeness, godliness, holiness. That's life. It's contrary to this flesh, isn't it? Flesh is opposite of all that. You can't drum that up. It doesn't. You can't get good water from a bad source, can you? You can't get fruit from a dead tree. That's the fruit. That's what it is. That's what life is. And someday, and those who have it now, someday are going to enjoy it to its fullest. That's the best I can do with that. What is life? What is eternal life? That's the best I could do with it. Did that have any appeal to you? Holiness, goodness? Then maybe you have a spark of it. Maybe that seed is in there. If not, it's not there. If it has no appeal to you. Now, if I say, well, eternal life is just unending bliss and a utopia and always being happy and being able to do what you want. That's
carnal. Who doesn't want that? Huh? Who doesn't want that? Take the wildest fellow on the streets. He wants to be happy all the time.
That's what he's trying to do. You remember that article by Pastor Terrell talking the difference between fun and happiness? Wasn't that good? Talk about all everybody wants to have fun. That's what they're doing in religion today. Want to make it fun for everybody.
People, the gospel's fun to God's people. For lack of a better word, there ain't nothing funner.
I'm speaking as a fool.
But what he was saying is if you find happiness in Christ, you're really happy. People in hell are going to be able to say, I had fun. But only those with Christ are going to be able to say, I'm happy. And even now on this earth, which is under the prince of the power of the air, under the same dominion, really, as that place, this same earth, lots of people having fun, but only those in Christ are happy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Only if you have life. Well, look at 1 John 5 again, okay? You still there? Look at verse 12. He hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's my last point. Do you have life? Have you ever heard someone say this? Have you ever said it? I have said, you know, when you're out there, you're really enjoying yourself. Whatever it is you like to really like to do. Whether it's sitting on the creek bank, you know, and casting the line in the water. And for me, I have to have a stringer full of them. It's no fun to me unless I've caught some. Some of you may just be able to like to sit there. I read Rick does, don't you, John? Just like to sit there and cast. At any rate, have you ever said that whenever you were doing something you really enjoyed, so now this is living? Kind of foolish when you think about it. Now this is living. Is it? Well, have you ever said that? This is living. Now, this is the life.
No, it isn't.
Scripture said it may be temporary pleasure, but it's not the life. Scripture says this about the natural man. I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither had entered into the heart of man. Things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now he's talking about the natural man. He's quoting Isaiah. The natural man doesn't. He doesn't enter into, he doesn't have any interest in these things. This is life. But one who has life does enter into it. These things have entered. His eye has seen. His ear has heard. His heart has received the things that God had prepared for. And they sit. While I do a little fishing. Up here, and they say, now this is living. Barbara, you understand what I'm saying? Do I feel a tug? This is life. Have you ever said that? Sitting under the sound of the God, now this is living. Have you? I think that's a pretty good illustration, people. Unless you've experienced it, I don't believe you can say that. Right? Do you have life? Well, ask yourself honestly. When you sit and hear what I'm saying right now, all the things I'm saying about Christ, who is the life, do you say, has your eye seen His glory? His beauty? Or is there no beauty about Him that you desire? Do you have life? Have you seen yourself? Do you remember over there in 1 John 1 where he said, if we If we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. No light in us. No life in us. When Christ comes, He reveals the darkness of your heart. He reveals the sinfulness of yourself. And you say, you keep saying, like Isaiah when he saw his glory. Remember? Remember? When Isaiah saw his glory, what did he say? Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm undone. Until a person sees themselves as the rottenest sinner on the top side of God's earth, they don't have Christ inside. Is that too hard? It's so. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Who's the truth? If we say we have not sinned, what's that? That means in everything we do, have done, ever will do, have not sinned, full of sin, ever before us, we make Him a liar.
Who?
The truth. His word is not in us.
Who could be plainer?
Christ sheds light. You know, when you turn on a flashlight, I took a flashlight out last night. I was looking for one of the ducks. It's dark. And they get under the barn there. And I took a flashlight out and stuck it up under there. And there's all kind of things under there. But the dog had dragged up my... Point I'm trying to make is, when you shine the light, the more light you shine, the more you can see. And if Christ is really in there, when you turn the poem says, John, when I turn my eyes within, all is vain and dark and wild. That's the reason Scripture says, look to me. Look to Christ. Do you have life? If you've seen His glory, have you seen yourself? Have you heard His voice? Do you have life? If you've heard His voice, you do. He said, my sheep shall hear my voice. What's His voice? It's the gospel. And they hear it loud and clear. A stranger's they won't hear. That sounds pretty good. You ain't heard it. But He says some good things. You haven't heard His voice. Isn't that right? Musicians have good tone. They're not tone deaf. If I were to ask some of you in here, somebody in here, to hum a middle C for me. Hum middle C for me. And I'd ask somebody here, not musically inclined, as they, or, you know, it'd be bad, you know. It'd be bad. Or play an instrument for me. And they couldn't play a tune. Anything made any sense. About like these preachers, you know. They can't play a hymn. But you have somebody that's got the melody in their mind and in their heart, they could hum middle C pretty close. That is, don't go play it. But you understand the point I'm trying to make? Somebody with Christ in them. Middle C. If thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of lice. Here comes a man preaching. What's he preaching? It's not a what. It's a who. I don't care if what he's preaching is good. If it ain't who he's preaching, he ain't preaching. They say it sounds... Have you ever done that? That sounds pretty good, but I'm not hearing something. Have you ever heard somebody play the piano or play a guitar or whatever, and you hear them play, and everybody thinks, hey, that's good. But a trained musician says, boy, she missed 25 notes, the first line alone. Lift out the whole second stanza. That's the way it is with a person who has Christ in them. He's missed it. That's not the gospel. That's not his voice, a stranger's voice he won't hear. That makes sense. It does if you've heard it. Do you love the things of Christ? Do you have life in you? Have you seen Christ's glory? Have you seen yourself? Have you heard his voice? The gospel. Do you love the things of Christ? I've already said this, really. His gospel. Is what I'm doing right now enough? Is this enough? Or would you rather me dance? I ain't going to do it. You thought I was going to do it. I ain't going to do it. Would you rather me entertain you? I don't play the guitar much. Or I don't play it when I'm playing it. Rick says. Because he's heard a good one. He can play it better than I can. That's because I'm not up here to entertain anybody. I'm up here to do one thing, preach Christ. And those that love, those that have life, say, preach Christ. Nothing else. All that thrills my soul, the song said, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all they need. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. All I need. If he's all, he's all you need and all you want. Everything else gets in the way. Get the choir down and put them in their seats. We don't want to look at them. They're just as ugly as we are. Let's hear it. Let's see him. Let's see Christ, preacher. Get behind the pulpit. Don't let us see you dancing around and carrying on. We don't want us to come here to see you. We can go see Merle Haggard or somebody. Preach Christ. We want to hear from him. Do you love the gospel? Is that all you love? Is that all you want to hear? His worship, his people. These are your kind of people. Can you say with Ruth, now these are my people. This is my kind of people. John, she's in my kind of people. Now, he's one of those squares I was talking about one day. Brandon, he's one of those squares. But he's my kind of people. Christ is the life. The life. Do you have life? All these things speak to you. And all those who enter in to Christ, all who Christ enters into, they can say, they can really say, when it's over, they can say, now this is living. Now this is life. I thought I had it once before. But this, now this is life. Christ is the life, isn't it? Huh? Charles, you're 70-some years old. Been there? You could say this. Been there, done that. Couldn't you? That's a popular saying today, and most who say it haven't. But now he's 70-some years old, and he could say it. Been in the service, been here and there. You could say, been there, done that. What's life, Charles? Christ is the life. The life. All right, Brother Joe, you have a hymn. 199.